Chris Joseph joins us. Chris, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for summing up my career perfectly there. Just old and retired. That's how I feel.
Now, we were talking about it. You had to work out all the time. I'm sure when you retire, the things the guys are happy most about is you don't have to go to the gym all the time. When you did, though, was there certain go-to songs that would fire you up?
Nah, no. But, yeah, the heavy stuff obviously gets you a little more fired up than listening to country. We always found that pregame skates or before games was some pretty up-tempo stuff, and then the next day of practice was always some country run by the old guys.
Nice. Chris, you have a big charity game going on tomorrow night. Now, is Strudwick on your team? Is that correct?
No, Strudy was on my team. I had to cut him. No, he had prior engagements. He was going to make it, but he's busy doing some camps,
okay,
and he couldn't get out of it. So he's not playing. But we do have Ryan Smith this year, which is a big boost.
Yeah.
We've got Nathan Dempsey, Rob Brown, Sean Brown, Joaquin Gage, Al Hamilton's coaching, Dave Lumley. So we got a good group of guys. That's just to name a few. And I'm sure the firefighters will have a good group as well.
And where's the game at?
Leduc. We did it 2 years in St. Albert, and this year we're going to Leduc Rec Center, the big Sobeys Arena.
And you do. This is a big fundraiser for firefighters, correct?
It is. And the charity of choice is Muscular Dystrophy, which has been the firefighters' charity of choice for quite a while. And we tried to coincide a little bit with the firefighters' rooftop campout, which is their biggest event of the year. So this will probably help supplement that. But, yeah, Muscular Dystrophy is the charity of choice, and that's where all the money's going to for this one tomorrow night.
And what time is puck drop out in Leduc?
7:30. There's also a skate. We have a sort of a public skate. The kids that want to come put their helmets on, put their home jerseys on or their road jerseys, can come out and skate with the firefighters and the alumni from 5:15 to 6:15 on one of the other rinks at the Leduc Rec Center. I'm not sure which one exactly. And then at 7:30, the game starts, and that's when the fun starts.
Now, you're kind of like the quasi-captain. So do you show up with like an iPod to make sure you got tunes in the room before the game?
Yeah, I never thought about that. I'm the old guy, too. So our new young guy, who usually runs the music, is going to be Ryan Smith this year. So I'm fully expecting that he's in charge of the tunes. But we'll have to come up with something. But you don't want to go off my playlist.
No, no. What would be the top few songs on your playlist?
Well, I'm one of the old guys, so you'd probably get some Johnny Cash on there.
Okay.
I don't know if I wanted to get real new and updated. Let's go with Headley. I like Headley.
Okay. I like how you say you're 45, man. That's far from old. Smitty's what, 38? Something like that?
Yeah.
38?
But he's the youngster.
Oh, yeah, I know. So now, because it's kind of his first one, does he have to carry the water bottles and fill them up?
Yeah, we're going to make him do something special. Maybe we'll let him go out on the ice first for the intro and just absorb all the limelight just for himself.
Oh, well, he'll probably be out there the longest. He always was a guy who liked to stay as much time on the ice as he could, and he'll still wear his Yofa. I noticed I saw it out in Moose Jaw the other day when they had his jersey retirement. He was using it.
I think he may have been looking forward to that most in his retirement, was putting the Jofa back on because they weren't letting him wear it in the NHL. So he'll be excited to put that back on.
Chris Joseph joins us. Chris, it's been quite a few years since you retired, of course. You know, you left the NHL in 2001, then you played in Germany for a few years, and finally in Italy. You know, the Steve Montador story now and many other players, there's a lot of talk about how the NHL and the NHLPA has got to do a better job to help guys be ready, you know, for that downer of when their career is over. Did you experience that?
I did. I had some help. But, you know, you think you're going to get a lot more help, and there's a little bit of help out there. Some guys are too proud to take advantage of it. But you have to have an idea what you want to do. And I got lucky. I knew I sort of wanted to be a firefighter, so I tried it out, and I got lucky. But the one downside to post-professional athlete career is that you have focused so hard on one thing, and you've given up everything else. I remember a simple thing, like I was on the fire department training, and one of the guys, we were doing chainsaw activity, right? We're trying to cut holes in a roof. And our training instructor asked, who has never run a chainsaw before? Well, I put my hand up and everybody looked at me like, really? Seriously? You've never run a chainsaw? And then a little while later, I asked, somebody said, I was talking to somebody about changing your own oil in your car. And they all looked at me like, buddy, you know, what rock have you been living under? But that's a kind of an example of, you know, when you focus your whole life on one thing and that's how you got good at it, you give up a lot of other basic life skills that so many other people have. So it's a tough challenge when that goes away.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Don't worry, Matt Iwanek didn't play professional hockey, and I actually got it last year. I convinced him to change the oil in his car for the first time. So
good.
You know, that's the younger generation, though. So you seem to let everybody else do it. But I think it is kind of a, you know, it's something that every young guy should do at some point. Just know how to change the oil in your car. So did you actually ever change the oil in your car?
Oh yeah. Since then, I made it my goal to try it out, and I do go to Mr. Lube now because I get lazy, but I know how to do it. If I want to, I can easily do it. And I can run a chainsaw really well, too.
Well, hey, that's important. Yeah, safety first, of course, too, right?
Yeah.
That's
key.
Chris Joseph joins us. And you mentioned how guys are too proud about it because a lot of it's your identity is you're a hockey player, right? And and a lot of people really like it. There's a lot of perks, no doubt. But when it's quiet away from the game, suddenly it's almost like, well, no one really cares about who you are. How did you get over that?
Well, I don't know. I never really got too wrapped up in the ego thing, or at least I tried not to. But it is hard, and it's almost harder for guys that played longer.
Mm-hmm.
If you had an excellent career, then everybody knows who you are, and it's hard to go be a car salesman right after that because everybody's like, "Well, shouldn't you be, you know, living on a beach in the Caribbean somewhere?" Whereas if you played two NHL games, you know, people have heard of you maybe. But you make that transition a little bit easier. So the ego thing and the pride thing is tough. I mean, you're going from, you know, people know who you are and they want you to, you know, sign an autograph for them. And then the next day, you know, you're a regular guy like everybody else, just trying to make ends meet. And so I think that's a little bit harder too. But eventually every athlete has to go through it and they have to get over it. Otherwise they're going to be stuck in the past, and we all know how that works out for players that are, or even people that are still stuck in high school, or you know what I mean? So you got to move on.
This just in, the Florida Panthers have acquired Jaromir Jagr for a second round pick in 15 and a conditional third rounder in 2016. He's only 2 years younger than you.
Wow. That's a big deal. That's good for Florida. That's, you know, and Jaromir's been amazing. He's a former teammate of mine as well. But what an amazing career he's had. And, you know, when I played with him, he was like the biggest kid out there. And he just wanted to, I mean, I remember I was in Pittsburgh and I was defense, and guys would say in practice, you know, just give Mario the outside. He'll come down the wall and he'll just take a little shot on you in practice. No big deal. So you'd do that for Mario and you'd give him the outside. He'd come down the outside and you just take a shot on goal, coast in the corner. Jaromir would come down next, and you give him the outside, and he'd try to beat you 17 times just to embarrass you and then score. So he always had high energy, amazing player, and good for him. Happy to see him doing well. He's got, obviously, Hall of Fame numbers. I think he's going to be going for some records here. It'll be interesting to see how long he can play.
Chris, you played with Jagr, I'm pretty sure, the year where him and Lemieux both had 60-plus goals, and I think Jagr ended up with 149 points, didn't get to 150 that year, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure if that was the year, but anyways, they were...
Like in 95, 96?
No, I think I was there in 94, 95. Yeah, I might have been the year before.
Yeah. No, I just looked it up. You were there in 94, 95, 95, 96. Yeah.
Was that the year? Oh, yes, that was the year that we lost to the Florida Panthers in the semifinals. That was a tough one.
Yeah. Wow. What happened? No.
Game seven, you never know what's going to happen, right? And Van Beesbrook was amazing that series. That was the year of the rat. I don't know if you remember the rat.
Oh, yes.
Scott Mellenby killed the rat. And so I remember in Florida, we'd get scored on, and there was 10,000 rats flying in from the stands. It was quite a sight to see. Tommy Barrasso would go hide under his net. But, yeah, they were a good hockey team, and they had stellar goaltending, and you get to game seven, and anything can happen.
When you look back on your career, Chris, is you know, obviously, you know, you had a long career. Anybody plays over 500 games in the league, you know, that's a pretty long time. Plus, your years pro over in Europe. That Florida year you mentioned, it was Game 7. Is that the one when you look back and say, man, like, that was the year you could have won a cup?
Yep, for sure. That was the closest I ever came as a player. I was with the Oilers for a couple of years on the standby roster when they did win the cup in 88 and 90, but I didn't play, so I didn't get a ring. But as a player, that was the closest I ever got. And then, of course, Florida played Colorado that year, and I think that was Colorado's first year in the league. But we had, as Penguins, we had given Quebec and Colorado for the previous 2 years probably the best challenge that they had had. And so we were really, we thought we could beat them going into the Stanley Cup Finals. And maybe we got a little bit ahead of ourselves, obviously, lost Game 7. But, yeah, you know what? It still sort of haunts you a little bit. And you think, well, what if I could have won one? But it is what it is.
I want to ask you, it's interesting because you were around the Oilers. You did play seven games in 87-88 when they won their fourth Stanley Cup. And then, of course, you were around the team again playing in 88-89 and 89-90, you know, up and down in the American League and the NHL. Being around there, how much does a player actually learn when you're not playing but you're around it?
Oh, you can't help but pick up some things. You know, I was sort of, you know, hoping, not really hoping for an injury, but, you know, hoping somebody's out so that you can get in and you just want to play. But you do see the dedication and the commitment that it takes to get over the top. A lot of teams, you see them, they get to the dance and then they lose. And it's that old story, you know, Gretzky story about looking at the Islanders dressing room and they're not celebrating and they're all banged up. And you know, I got to watch the Oilers win two Stanley Cups, and it was very similar to that. You know, they were celebrating, of course, but, I mean, they were beat up. They were taking, you know, their cortisone shots to numb the pain, and they did what it took to win. And I also saw things like the high-powered Oilers offense was, you know, really the basic, the strongest part of their team was their team defense, and that's what won them the Stanley Cup. So you can't help but pick things up as you watch. So, yeah, it's always a good experience.
Chris, as always, great to talk to you. Enjoy tomorrow night once again, 7:30 puck drop in Leduc. And any kids out there in Leduc or, you know, neighboring, you want to come from Edmonton, you're more than welcome to get out there and skate with the firefighters and the alumni team from 5:15 until 6:15, and then puck drop at 7:30. Enjoy. Good luck, and I hope you guys raise a lot of money.
Thanks, Jason. We'll talk to you soon.
You betcha. Chris Joseph.